I call the meeting of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee on this Monday, March 17th, to order. We have a quorum. And first motion is to approve the minutes. Chair Kosnick, have you read the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I do move that the minutes of March 12th, 2025 be moved and approved.
Sounds good. Can I consider a motion for the chair? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are passed. Today on the agenda, we have a series of bills. We're going to start out with the bill from Representative Scraba, House File 566. House File 566, we'd like to get ready for the send of the bill to the Elections, Finance, and Government Operations Committee. Representative Scraba, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. This bill has been heard in Environment. It's a bill to allow modify provisions for operating all-terrain vehicles on public roads. The bill is critically important for greater Minnesota cities and rural communities where ATVs are not just for recreation, but also a practical mode of transportation. I've had several people, farmers, tell me about how this would help them go from one end of the town to the other end of town. So it does ring with a lot of not just recreationalists, but workers. In many communities like my own, the ATVs are serve as a essential link between homes, businesses, trail systems, outdoor recreation area. This bill will help cities better integrate ATVs into their local transportation networks, boosting tourism, local economies, and enhancing safe and legal connectivity for riders. About 38.1 million in the area where I'm from. That's what it helps in our economy in northern Minnesota. To further explain the importance, I have two testifiers, Nick Wagnum from ATV Minnesota, who is joining via Zoom, and he'll discuss the broader impact of this legislation on riders and communities across the state. And to my right, Ely Mayor Heidi Omerza, she'll talk about how it affects Ely. I look forward to the discussion, and thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. Would you like to hear from your testifiers now?
Yes, please.
Ms. Omerza, would you like to start? Please announce your name and where you're from for the record.
Absolutely. Heidi Omerza, Mayor of Ely, Ely, Minnesota. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 566, authored by Representative Mayor, Roger Scraba, former Mayor of Ely, actually. My name is Heidi Omerza, and I am the Mayor of Ely, Minnesota. I have also had the privilege of serving as the past president of the League of Minnesota Cities and the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. This legislation is essential for for communities like Ely and greater Minnesota towns and cities that rely on outdoor recreation as a cornerstone of our local economies. The ability to safely operate all-terrain vehicles, ATVs, on designated public roads is not just about recreation. It's about connectivity and accessibility. When our new trailhead building is completed, which we'll all invite you to if you'd like. This bill will allow Ely to link that vital hub directly to our downtown, ensuring that visitors and residents alike can seamlessly access local businesses, restaurants, and other amenities. This connection will enhance tourism, bolster economic activity, and make Ely an even more attractive destination for outdoor enthusiasts. The economic impact of ATV use in St. Louis, Lake, and Couchiching counties is significant, generating millions of dollars annually for local businesses. From lodging and dining to fuel stations and equipment rentals, ATV tourism supports jobs and sustains businesses that rely on steady outdoor traffic, recreation traffic. Events like ATV jamborees and trail rides bring in visitors from across the state and beyond, helping rural communities and thrive all year round. By improving connectivity and access through HV 566, we can continue to grow this important sector and ensure that outdoor recreation remains a driving force in our regional economy. Beyond the economic benefits, ATVs provide a unique way for many individuals, including those who may not otherwise have the ability to explore the outdoors, to experience the beauty of Minnesota trails, whether it's families, older adults, or individuals with mobility challenges. This bill helps open up opportunities for more people to enjoy our natural resources in a sustainable way. I urge you to support, I urge your support for House File 566 to help greater Minnesota communities like Ely to continue to thrive while improving access and connectivity for all. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Omerza, for your testimony. Are there any questions for Ms. Omerza? Thank you. Next, we have online Nick Wognum. Please state your name and your organization for the record.
Thank you. My name is Nick Wognum. I am the Secretary of the Board of ATV Minnesota. This bill, sponsored by Representative Scraba, is one that is near and dear to my heart. I have been advocating for it for years within our organization and have found great support as people understand what it could provide. As a state board, we have a responsibility to look at how we can help ATV riders from all corners of the great state of Minnesota. But how do we best do that? Well, as a member of the state board, I've traveled around the state to look at different trail opportunities. From where I live up in Ely, down south to Rushford, to the west to Wabasso, northwest to Perham, to Park Rapids, to Moose Lake, and even up to the Canadian border. Each area presents challenges to the opportunities that lie there. Maybe it's a lack of public land, or it's a remote area where there isn't a club to make things happen. But I did see one common thread that existed throughout the state, small towns with state highways that run through them. Now, I tried to find a newspaper clipping of a story that was told to me, and I do remember reading about, and it impacts dozens and dozens of communities. This story, though, was about a homecoming queen, I believe in Zumbrota, who was trying to get from her house to the high school. But on her way there, when she drove down the main street of her community, which was also a state trunk highway, for that she got pulled over and she got a ticket. Now, what that told me was small towns shouldn't have to penalize people who are just trying to get from one location to another. Maybe they're trying to get to a restaurant or a gas station or a hotel or even to the local school gymnasium just because there's a state highway that's also the main drag. That's what this bill seeks to change. I'm well aware of this problem because it exists right here in Ely, just down the road in Tower, across the state in Menominee, or over in Montrose or Mapleton or Moose Lake. Please consider passage of this bill so we can help folks who are just trying to get from one place to another. It would mean so much to so many communities across our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wognum. Members, are there any questions for Mr. Wognum? Thank you. Are there any other testifiers, either from the public or is, are you Ken Johnson? Thank you, you're on the list. Thank you. Mr. Johnson, please state your name and your organization for the record, please.
I am Ken Johnson, Assistant State Traffic Engineer with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, Office of Traffic Engineering.
Thank you, please proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. From an ATV operational perspective, MnDOT understands why this is desired, because the trunk highway is sometimes the only road connecting the local community to the trail system. We already see ATVs using our roadways this way across the state. However, MnDOT has concerns with the broad application of this bill as it is currently written from a traffic safety perspective. Having ATVs operate with or near heavier and faster moving vehicles is not consistent with our Toward Zero Deaths goals. The DNR, the DPS, Office of Traffic Safety, and the State Patrol share our serious concerns about safety. The DNR and DPS have pointed out to MnDOT that ATVs are not roadworthy vehicles and don't meet federal motor vehicle safety standards. MnDOT's traffic staff recommends that ATVs operate in the ditch or backslope whenever possible. This is an area of rising concern within the Minnesota's Toward Zero Deaths coalitions. In 2024, there were 23 fatal crashes involving ATVs, compared to 8 in 2023 and 14 in 2022. To give you a sense of the scale, the 23 ATV fatal crashes in 2024 is compared to 8 bicyclists, 56 pedestrians, and 76 motorcyclists. From 2020 through 2024, on trunk highways with a speed limit of 45 miles per hour or less within cities that have a population of 25,000 or less, there have been 8 ATV crashes, including one serious injury crash. We believe that we only had one serious injury crash on trunk highways over the past 5 years because ATVs are only allowed to cross, not operate along trunk highways. If the law were to change as currently written, these numbers we would expect to increase. The legislation requires that an ordinance be passed, but there's a possibility that people may interpret this law as long as the speed limit is 45 miles an hour or less, I could drive my ATV on the road. A lot of 30 to 45 mile per hour trunk highways are also multi-lane, and MnDOT and DPS have strong reservations with ATVs operating on these types of roads. Their size and design make them difficult to see. Imagine trying to see an ATV behind a large pickup, and they don't have safety features to reduce the consequence of higher speed crashes. Again, ATVs don't meet federal motor vehicle safety standards. As we've mentioned in a previous hearing, MnDOT is willing to work with Representative Scraba to determine ways to reduce the safety risks of this bill, and we absolutely encourage involving the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Public Safety in that effort.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Are there any members from the public that would wish to testify? Seeing no other members, so this bill will be moved by Representative Scraba's bill to House File 566, where we recommend it to pass and be referred to the Elections Finance and Government Operations Committee. Representative Scraba, you have any final comments on your bill?
I just want to point out that I'm looking forward to working with MnDOT. I heard it and I spoke about this first in environment. It got sent here. Not that we've been busy between then and then. And so I'm going to make time to sit down with him before it gets to the next committee with MnDOT so we can work out these issues. I just anecdotally, I've vacationed in Moab, Utah, and everything is allowed on their highway, any highway where. And when everyone knows what's on the highway, everyone drives accordingly. And I mean Jeeps, bikes, ATVs, UTVs, you name it, they got it on the road. So it is something we can work together. I think we can find a solution, but I look forward to working with MnDOT on this. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. So with that, I move that Representative Scraba's bill, House File 566, be recommended to pass and referred to the Elections Finance and Government Operations Committee. We'll take the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say aye. The bill passes and we refer to the Elections Finance and Government Operations Committee. The next bill we have up today will be Representative Wiener's bill. I'm sorry, Representative Steer? Okay. Representative Steer's bill. Good. You can be next. Representative Sears' bill is House File 340, set to be moved to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. Representative Steer, please talk to your bill.
All right. So House File 340, just a quick overview. It's a technical update to existing subdivision language for license revocation to include culpable negligence, which is listed in Subdivision 3A, and failure to obey signs and keep on the proper side of the road. It amends existing law to add offense for fleeing an officer with a culpable negligence, moves it from a 3-year to a 4-year felony, and then amends existing law to add revocation for the offense of fleeing when you fail to obey signs, markings, fail to keep on the proper side of the road, and that would make it a 5-year felony. And then there's a technical update to existing subdivision language for culpable negligence and failure to obey signs and keep on the proper side of the road. So I'll pass it on to my testifiers. We have Jay Henthorne here with the Chief of Police in Richfield. And
Shane Myrie, President of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, or MPPOA.
Thank you, Representative Steer. To your testifiers, would Mr. Henthorne like to go first?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jay Henthorne. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Richfield. I'm here today representing the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association. We represent more than 300 police chiefs across the state of Minnesota and over 150 command staff members. We appreciate the opportunity to testify on House File 340 today. We would like to thank the author, Representative Steer, for bringing this important bill forward. Situations where people flee from police officers remains at a very high level. There were 2,262 agency-initiated pursuits in 2023. This has been an issue for several years, and therefore we'd like to address the dangerous crime by creating new language that recognizes the higher levels of danger created when people flee from police officers in a reckless and dangerous manner. The bill does exactly that. House File 340 creates two new provisions for the crime of fleeing from a police officer in a motor vehicle that Representative Steer has already outlined. The MCPA supports House File 340, and we have worked with the author, Representative Steer, as well as Chair Mueller, on some modifications to the bill to address her concerns. We look forward to continuing these discussions as the bill moves forward. Thank you for the opportunity to testify here today, and I am happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Hinthorn. Any questions for Mr. Hinthorn today? Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll hear from Shane Myrie.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. Like we said, Shane Myrie, president of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. We represent approximately 10,000 rank and file public safety professionals across the state of Minnesota. We want to associate ourselves with the comments from the chief about the public safety crisis with fleeing motor vehicles on the roads across the state of Minnesota. I think the chief laid it out well. And just for the record, MPPOA does support House File 340 and appreciates you taking a look at the provisions in 171 with the DVS revocation stuff under this committee's jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Meyer? Seeing none, any member discussion? Representative Steer, would you like to have any final comments on your bill?
Chair, Mr. Chair.
Oh, no,
Chair Koznick.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing the bill forward. We appreciate what every law enforcement patrol person does on a daily basis, risking their security and safety to keep the rest of us safe. And sometimes you approach a vehicle and you don't know what you're expecting. So I think this is an important bill to keep law enforcement more safe so that they can continue to protect the driving public. So thank you for bringing the bill forward. We support it.
Thank you, Chair Koznick. Representative Steer, do you have any final comments on your bill?
Nope, just thank you for the opportunity to be here today and present the bill in front of you.
Sounds good. With that, I move to move Representative Steer's bill, House File 340, to be recommended and passed and referred to the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. The next bill on the agenda is from Representative Weiner. Representative Weiner's bill, House File 2066. I move that Representative Weiner's bill be recommended to pass and be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Weiner, when you're ready, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Pleasure to be here today to present Bill 2066. This is a pretty straightforward bill. And what it does is it repeals the e-bike assisted or the e-bike rebate and transfers it into the highway fund. And the fact of the matter is I'd love to take credit for this bill, but this is a Democrat-inspired bill. We saw testimony and heard comments from retired House member Gene Pawlowski how we need to look at the last budget and repeal bills. And I took that very serious. Combine that with comments that were made from past administration, Barack Obama said we have to look at our budgets and go through them line by line and figure out where we can take money and effectively use it to help the taxpayers of the country, what he was saying. But I truly look at what we're doing in the state here, and we have to take that line by line item, figure out where our taxpayer dollars are best spent, and put it towards, you know, our failing infrastructure, roads and bridges. So with that, Mr. Chair, that is the bill, and I believe we have a testifier.
Thank you, Representative Weiner. Yeah, two of your testifiers. The first testifier we have on our list is Michael Wojcik, followed by Martha Naholame. Mr. Wojcik, please state your name and your organization for the record.
Okay. Hello, my name is Michael Wojcik. I am the Executive Director of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. I live in Rochester, Minnesota. I've spent most of my life in Greater Minnesota. I'm here today to speak in opposition to this bill. I thank you, Mr. Chair, I thank you for the opportunity to address this bill. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background because this bill actually predates my time in this position. But one thing we've heard from the people of Minnesota pretty loud and clear is that this is has been an incredibly popular provision, so much so that the state of Minnesota actually crashed a Salesforce server because there were so many people online at the same time trying to get the rebate. Now, our organization, we believe that there are changes that are needed with the bill. However, we believe this bill brings a lot of the existing bill brings a lot of value to Minnesota. In particular, we'd like to see a change, and we do have a bill that has bipartisan author support in the Senate that would modify the first come first serve into a lottery system, so everyone has a fairer shot at doing it, and also would change some of the limits so that more people would be able to access this, and it would also be more targeted towards lower income individuals. To say this is popular is a little bit beyond hyperbole, in that for the 20 or so seconds that this was available online the second time it went up, an estimated 77,000 Minnesotans were online at the same time trying to do that, and that was just those that were able to get online at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday and do so. And the money, I was in the queue at about 2 seconds in, and the rebates were long gone before I had the opportunity to get one. And it's interesting that this is popular in all parts of Minnesota. It's been said that e-bikes are a little bit like the pickleball of the transportation world, and that seniors have adopted them, and it's become incredibly popular. E-bikes bring a lot of advantages, and in particular, they are a powerful tool for augmenting transit and shorter trips. This is particularly important in Greater Minnesota, where you might not have fixed route transit in a lot of places, and you also might not have the ability to do a dial ride without having a four-hour window. It's not going to work for everyone at every time, but what we learned when we brought together folks at our recent e-bike policy summit is approximately 30% of Minnesotans don't drive, and a fair number of those are kids that are under the age of 15, but there are a lot of other folks that actually can get around on an e-bike or an e-trike and are not able to drive, and that's particularly important that this tool is available to them. Now, the cost can be prohibitive of getting an e-bike. That's why this program was first put in place, as is done in a number of different states and municipalities as well. E-bikes are particularly good at bringing a lot of benefits. We understand that active transportation is good for our health. We face a number of health crises, whether it be diabetes or obesity in this country, and we understand that active transportation is a net positive for those things. We also understand that as people adopt e-bikes, VMT, vehicle miles traveled in that household, tend to decline in a measurable way. And in fact, an investment in e-bikes roughly the same size as one rural interchange in Minnesota could actually get us close to halfway towards our VMT reduction targets for the next several years. And finally, we can't emphasize enough just how much e-trikes are a tool of accessibility for some of the members of our disabled community. We understand that the cost has been somewhat prohibitive. This is a tool to get more people into e-bikes. We feel it can be done in a more equitable way than it has been in the past. But for the relatively small cost of this program, we feel it delivers incredible benefit. It's been incredibly popular with the people of Minnesota, and we find that there are much better ways to address costs in our statewide transportation system than going after a relatively small amount of money that's going to get people onto e-bikes. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Mr. Wojcik, thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Mr. Wojcik? Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the testimony. This is on topic but off topic a little bit. This is in regards to a lot of the safety that we're seeing in regards to e-bikes, especially around, you know, I'll just say a lot of my council members and mayors are having a level of frustration. Have you guys come out to say that if you would support mandatory use of a helmet for people under 18 years of age for an e-bike?
Chair, members,
project.
We absolutely do not support mandatory helmets. We recommend it. In fact, we require it for all of our activities. We do education statewide that teaches people to use helmets. We understand that there are a lot of particular safety concerns, and we take these safety concerns so seriously that part of the reason that we created an e-bike policy summit was so that we could bring public health, public safety officials, and some of the best experts in the country to get together and talk about a number of these things. So there are some ideas that we have that addressing e-bike safety. I understand that's not directly related to this bill, but to the extent that you're interested in learning more about our work on e-bike safety, we would absolutely welcome the opportunity to work with you or any other elected official.
Representative Van Myers, you have a follow-up?
Yeah, just thank you, Mr. Chair. Just, you know, one comment would be is, you know, I would ask you to probably reach out to my 11 mayors and council members. I think they would have a different opinion.
Yep. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this came from the $2 million that we're talking about came from the general fund last year, but right now we're putting it back into the highway user distribution tax fund. And so I don't think this really does much to solve the general fund problem that we have. Number one. Number two, this is an incredibly popular program that even if you don't qualify for some of these things, it actually has gotten people into e-bikes. My dad and his wife both bought one and tried to get the rebate but could not, and they love taking their e-bikes up the North Shore. I know they both live in Representative Scraba's district, so they get plenty of use out of those bike trails up there. And so my main concern is if we're really looking at, you know, a budget issue, then it should go back to the general fund. And so that's my main concern. And then I just wanted to also mention, obviously, our members aren't here. We're all, most of our members are over at Sovereignty Day. And I would really invite you all, hopefully we can get through these bills quickly. Otherwise, I invite you all to go over to the Senate building where they're doing the federal impacts on tribal nations panel at 1:50. And then having our closing ceremonies right before session. So I know that a lot of us were there this morning, and you know, there was a noticeable difference of the folks in the room. And so I would really hope that we'd all take this seriously and go over to Sovereignty Day. So thank you.
Representative Cagle, did you have a question? Okay.
Thank you. My concerns about the general fund stuff.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members or questions for Mr. Wojcik?
Mr. Chair, I'll save my comments until at the end for the last testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Wojcik. Next up on the list is Martha Nolome. Help me with that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So my name is Martha Njolomole. I am an economist at Center of the American Experiment. I am here today to testify in support of House File 2066 to cancel the e-bike tax rebate program. As we're all aware in this room, Minnesota is facing a $6 billion deficit in the 2028-2029 biennium. Even more concerning, spending is expected to exceed tax revenues every year in the entire period between 2024 to 2029. Simply stated, Minnesota cannot continue to fund non-essential government programs. To be clear, people who want to buy e-bikes should be able to get them. However, subsidizing the individual decisions of primarily affluent Minnesotans is not a core responsibility of the Minnesota state government. Last year, the Minnesota Reformer reported that more than 2 out of 5 Minnesotans who received the rebate made more than $100,000 in income per year. About half earned more than $80,000 in income. Only 37% of the 1,500 Minnesotans who received the rebate were low income, which fell short of the law's 40% target. According to a 2020 survey of e-bike owners, about 16% of respondents had annual household income of $150,000 or more, and 17% had annual household income between $100,000 and $150,000. This program effectively transfers money from low-income taxpayers to high-income residents who do not need the state government assistance to buy e-bikes on the market. Taxpayers cannot and should not be expected to continue bearing the cost of this project, especially given the state budget's outlook. I'm aware that we're talking about $2 million here, but every dollar that we're able to save counts toward closing the budget deficit. I believe that every Minnesotan will be better served if the funds previously appropriated for this program are redirected to other, preferably more essential services in the general fund budget. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Nolomi. Are there any questions for Ms. Nolomi? Chair Kosick.
Just more general questions on the close of the committee, okay, or the bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Weiner, do you have any comments on, or I should ask for the general public. So Chair Kosick.
Well, thank you, members, and I do want to, first I'll just, to the Chair Cagle's comments, we do recognize that Sovereignty Day activities are going on. Our members have been here since we've been sworn in. We had a three-week delay, and it's unfortunate that Sovereignty Day was also today, and we have scheduled committee, so I appreciate the committee members that are here. On this particular bill, we do not have budget targets yet, and I think it's important that we are looking at bills. Representative Weiner, thank you for bringing this bill forward. We are looking within the budget area on how we can save money. We're not expected to get a general fund allowance for the committee, so we need to look at make sure that the funds that we have within the committee jurisdiction are used as effectively as possible to meet our responsibilities to move people where they want to go and how they want to go. The price of e-bikes has gone down significantly. I just did a quick little Google search. You can get one for as little as $3.99 at Walmart. And they do range. I recognize that they get substantially more expensive. And so I think at $400, if someone wants an e-bike for their main mode of transportation, that's a pretty reasonable deal, a pretty good deal, actually, if they can use that to get to where they need to go, if it's for employment or whatnot, compared to other forms of transportation. The testifier had mentioned that the site crashed in 11 seconds. Well, no surprise, there's 77,000 smart Minnesotans that lined up to get some free money. That shouldn't be any big surprise. In greater Minnesota, you'd mentioned 30% of the people don't drive, and a lot of them are under 15. Well, under 15-year-olds can't drive anyways, if this is to support active transportation, maybe the testifier might want to comment on this. Why not make the rebates available for regular pedal bikes? Wouldn't that encourage more active transportation? And then again, just finally to close, we don't have our budget targets or a lack of a budget target, and so I really appreciate when members bring us bills that repurpose dollars that we may be able to use to more safely maintain our infrastructure. So you may want to comment on other types of rebates or broadening it if it's really to do a different intent. You know, if it's active transportation, should we expand it to be regular pedal bikes? And also the size of the rebate, would that need to be adjusted if that was really our intent?
Thank you, Chair Kosick. Ms. Lomolmi, would you like to comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe it was the previous testifier who talked about that specific point. I'm
would
not
Mr.
sure
Wojcik
if he's still here.
Well, I was directing it to the more studied economist, if you care to comment. If you don't need to comment, that's fine. Maybe the author would. But I know that there was discussion in the Senate last week that tried to modify the rebate program, and my opinion would be that it still fails to meet the objective, and Representative Weiner's approach here that the rebate really isn't necessary. As I mentioned, the cost of bikes have gone down quite a bit, so if you're really in the market, there are different price points that I think most Minnesotans should be able to afford. And the best approach is Representative Wiener's approach to put the money back in the Highway User Trust Fund.
Ms. Nolan-Mully, do you have any follow-up comments at all?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think to your point, this is an issue that we see with a lot of assistance programs or rebate credits and stuff like that. So a good example would be like tax increment financing at districts. There's always this argument that if without these credits, these kinds of developments would not be able to happen. Similarly, without these credits, people are not going to be buying e-bikes. But what we do tend to find is that a lot of the projects that get developed are projects that would have been developed anyway, even without those projects, without the tax credits. And I'd imagine that for most people that were got these rebates too, they would have gotten those rebates probably without these credits. So, yeah, I think the idea that somehow state government giving money makes people work more, it's a little, there's not much evidence out there to support that, in my opinion.
Chair Kosnick, any follow-up?
I appreciate the comments. To note, I'm not aware of any tennis shoe rebates either that induce active transportation.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Anderson.
Thanks. I'll follow up to Representative Kosick's comments. This is, to me, an e-bike is a toy, just like a golf cart or an ATV or something else. And the only difference is you can, you know, ride them on sidewalks, I think. But maybe that'll change. And we can ride our ATVs on a sidewalk down the road. So it's a toy. I understand. I'm sure there's a huge demand when it's free or when you have a giant rebate and you can get one of these cheap, you know. So, but like Chair Kosnick said, we have a huge budget problem and we have to be funding basic essential government services in the next biennium. So I don't think we can afford to fund toys. So thank you. Thank you for bringing this bill.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Scott Trava.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an e-bike I purchased probably 6 years ago or so. I bought it to go elk hunting out west in the mountains. And it's pretty unique. I think I paid like $1,800 for it. That same bike right now, a Rad Rover from Seattle, Washington, is like $1,200 right now. So they have come down in price. They've gotten better technology. And when this bill came out, I was like, what's the purpose? Why are they giving money to some, you know, I could have got my bike for free, you know, and it's like, I don't want, that's not what I want. You know, like, now I understand the $8,000 bike. Well, it's, I don't know. I can't get this one. I'm sorry. I have one. I use it. If anything, we should be talking about speed limits on trails because people are driving these like way too fast. And that's a totally different subject. Absolutely different subject. But I think they're wonderful. I support them. I also used to be on the Mesabi Trail Working Group. I built the Mesabi Trail 200 miles. And we tackled this issue years ago about letting e-bikes on the trail. We allow them on the trail. But should the government be buying your bike so you can do it? I question that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Wiener, for bringing this bill forward. You know, this is a start as we continue with the $6 billion deficit with the overspending that the Democrats did the last 2 years. There's going to be cuts coming. You know, this isn't like cutting a program, so it's not cutting food shelves or anything like this. This is just a start of repealing something and putting money back into, you know, highways that get us around Minnesota. This is a good start, and you know what? This is a start of what we need to be doing right now in Minnesota is looking at what we can cut and maybe not affecting programs that affect people generally, like food shelters or anything like that. But this is a start where something like this, people will still get by. So thank you, Representative Wiener.
Thank you, Representative Joy. Any other member discussion? Representative Wiener, would you like to close your bill?
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for having for hearing the bill. Just a couple points that I'd like to clarify or hit, and some of it is echoed a little bit by some of the committee members already. But one of the testifiers had said that e-bikes are cost prohibitive, and that's why the rebate is necessary. Well, we've also seen examples of where if a rebate is maintained, the cost of that item continues to go up. because the sellers know that there's a rebate available. And here we're seeing the price come down. Makes sense. The need for it and was discussed. Well, like was said before, there's no surprise. If your government's handing out free money, people are going to line up to get it. So that's really not justifying that. The other comment that was made, and it makes me think about, you know, this isn't a lot of money, a couple million here. And I think about what I think it was Benjamin Franklin said at that time is you watch the pennies and the dollars take care of themselves. Well, in government in the state of Minnesota, let's watch the millions and the billions will take care of themselves. So with that, thank you for your consideration and look forward to seeing this bill on the floor.
Thank you, Representative Weiner. With that, I move the Representative Weiner's bill, House File 2066, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes. With that, I'm going to turn over the chair position to Representative Scraba to finish this out. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Representative Murphy. The next bill we are going to hear is House File 341, Representative Heinzman. Thank you, Representative Heinzman. I move that Representative Heinzman's bill, House File 341, be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. Is there, let's see. Okay. Representative Heinzman, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. Members, I'm going to be very brief. There's a lot discussion that has already happened on this bill over the last almost 10 years that I've been working on it, but I'm very glad to be here in the Transportation Committee, making my way to the General Register. So not to oversimplify, but what this bill does is it allows those with a suspended or revoked driver's license to potentially face stricter penalties. At the moment, it is a more significant crime in the state of Minnesota to use a spotlight in a field during deer season and spot or shine deer, that's a gross misdemeanor. To harass a gray wolf in Minnesota is a more significant crime. Again, a gross misdemeanor. But if you drive with a revoked or suspended driver's license, you're looking at a simple misdemeanor. So this bill would change that. If you are looking at the bill, you have it in front of you, you could maybe take a look at lines 2.28 through 3.5. And that goes a little bit into the detail of the bill and describes the individuals whose license is suspended or revoked. And if they were to cause a collision that may cause substantial bodily harm or commits a third offense within 10 years, you'd be looking at this enhanced penalty. I do have a Senate author. The bill has been heard, and it is moving in the other chamber. So with that, I will stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman. Does anyone here wish to testify for House File 341? Anyone else? Seeing none. Members, any questions for Representative Heisman? Well, what a great job. Closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, as I was staying and led with, this has been around for a while, and it's time that we get this fixed in Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to have the bill heard.
I move to renew my motion that Representative Heisman's bill 341 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Next up is, Representative, Olson is going to present Bill House File 2107. And I believe I'm going to let you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I move this bill?
You can.
Perfect. I would love to do so.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2107 has to do with rental motor vehicle license plates, essentially designating a special plate for rental companies to utilize for their vehicles, just to kind of clean up and organize a little bit better. I've got some testifiers here who will be happy to walk through the bill and answer any specific questions and maybe answer the question of why these special plates are needed.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sam Krieger with Hill Capital Strategies, representing our client Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I'm here today just to provide clarity and answer questions as needed. But I'm here with Steve Hari, who is the Enterprise Controller, and he will talk a little bit more about the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Hari.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. As Sam said, my name is Steve Hari. I am the controller of Enterprise Rent-A-Car in Minnesota. In the state of Minnesota, we have more than 50 rental car locations. We have three car sales dealerships, and we also have five truck rental locations, along with a Commute with Enterprise, a sort of rideshare division. I'm here today to ask for your support of House File 2107, which would establish a rental car license plate. As I mentioned before, with over 50 locations, our vehicles do move from store to store constantly. And as we renew our tabs on our vehicles, we face challenges in getting these tabs onto the right vehicles. In many cases, when we get a tab in from the city of Roseville, our deputy registrar, we send that out to the location or the branch where the vehicle was most recently housed. By the time that tab gets to the rental car branch, that vehicle could be on rent by one of our customers, or that customer may return that tab or return that vehicle to a different location. And then what we have to do is send that tab on to another one of our branches. So that does face significant challenges for us. We have several thousand cars in the state of Minnesota, so this happens constantly. The repercussions of not having proper tabs in our vehicles, even though we have paid the proper registration fees, are citations and obviously some customer service issues when one of our customers could potentially get a citation. Ultimately, if that happens, Enterprise does take care of that citation, but it does cause us some customer service issues. The bill, as was mentioned, allows for the Department of Public Safety to create a rental car license plate in which the physical tabs would not be required to be put on these plates. They would be for rental car companies only, and it is an option. One thing I do want to point out with this bill is that all usual and customary fees associated with registering a vehicle will still be required. So Enterprise is not getting out of paying any kind of fees. It's simply avoiding putting tabs on vehicles. And with that, I'll take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hurry. Any questions? Representative.
If you have a question, go ahead, other members. I don't like hogging the microphone.
I thought you were.
But I will.
Go ahead, Representative Joy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for you guys with the Enterprise rent. You know, a lot of times you see cars that are from California licensed or different things like that. About how many of your cars are licensed in Minnesota?
We currently have about 13,000.
Okay. One more.
Keep going.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another question is, so is this license kind of going to be like a dealer license plate that doesn't have the expiration, just kind of like when you'll stick on the license on the car so it just continues instead of, like you say, chasing it down?
Yes. It's a specific rental car or license plate for rental car use only. I believe the time frame for this is up to 7 years. We can hold on to this license plate. Then license plates can be transferred to other vehicles as we cycle through our older vehicles.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Joy. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I think you just answered my question, so thank you.
Right. Thank you. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this bill here. We try hard, but oftentimes fail to make doing business in Minnesota easier. And so I appreciate the authors and co-authors bringing the bill forward. My question is, as a rental car company, do they make conscious decisions of where they purchase their vehicles and where they have to have them titled? Or if you're renting them in Minnesota, do they have to be Minnesota, pay Minnesota tab fees?
Well, with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, as I said, we only have 50 stores, but we have thousands throughout the United States. So these vehicles can make its way from California and such. When we purchase vehicles here, we register them in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and appreciate that. But as a business practice, you probably could look at other states to purchase vehicles, and as they move throughout your inventory, would it be less expensive to purchase them in other states?
Yes, that is possible. Correct.
Well, thank you. I support the bill if it makes a business and job creator here in Minnesota continue to operate here and do business here, create jobs here, and also contribute to our transportation funds here.
Thank you. Representative Olson, do you wish to add the oral amendment, the author's oral amendment, A1? Sure.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that A1 amendment. It's a technical amendment to get the bill a little bit more in line for the reviser and as the original author would prefer.
First, do you want to speak to it?
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment makes a couple of technical changes. One is to use a defined term that's in the statute. Another is to add some clear cross-references to the statutory provisions where validation stickers are required to specifically notwithstand those provisions so that tabs wouldn't need to be placed onto the plates.
All right, very good. Representative Kosnick?
Yeah, I'll just note for the public, this was a technical amendment that didn't make deadline, but as the chair of the committee, I okayed it because it's technicality in nature.
Very good, thank you. Any other discussion? Do you want to close, Representative Olson? I'm sorry, yes. We got to vote on the amendment. Is there any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carries unanimous. The amendment is passed. I'll hit it harder there. Do you have anything else you want to say before we go to final passage?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate having the bill heard this afternoon. We can do to make business a little bit easier in the state of Minnesota is a good thing. This is a pretty small thing. You know, sending tabs to the next location is like 73 cents in the U.S. Postal Service. But whatever we can do to save time and money for our businesses is a great thing.
And I stepped out of line. Is there anyone in the public that would like to testify? You're more than welcome. Anyone? All right. Thank you. The bill is moved to Ways and Means, and I move the bill, Representative Olson, I'm sorry, as amended, House File 2107, to pass and be referred to the General Register.
No.
I'm sorry, to Ways and Means. I'm sorry. I apologize. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimous. Are there any other items today?
Mr. Chair?
Representative?
Thank you. I will just a little direction. Chair Cagle and I have talked, and our intention is the DFL will control the gavel on 319 and 324, so the next two meetings. They will post the bills online. I don't know if they have for the 19th yet. Probably not. I don't think it's required. But and then the GOP, I will chair the meeting of 3:26, the meeting on Monday 3:31. There's no legislative business on that day for ID, and then the GOP will chair on April 2nd, and then the remaining two meeting days that last week before third deadline, Chair Cagle and I will determine that later, but it's probably hopefully an omnibus bill. And we will just share the agenda and hopefully have a bill to walk through at that point if we get deadlines. And so that's just kind of a roadmap for us, even though some for our staff that are here. And we'll determine the rest of the session. But that's as far as we have, as far of a crystal ball. So I appreciate the committee's work today, and Representative Scraba and Representative Murphy for helping chair. It's good to have new people experience the chair. Representative Scraba, I'll turn it back to you to adjourn.
Seeing there's no other business before the committee, we are adjourned.